Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If it matters to you, he's talking about it. The Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
Raining Wookiees in the big city, by the bay, all the big cities.
Boy, it's just crazy to look at all the rain. I don't know. I guess that's a California thing. It is. California dreaming on such a winter day. And away we go on the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810. And I am just, I guess I'm fascinated with this affluenza story about this teen because it just seems like a lot of insanity, and I did not know this original story. First of all, let's introduce our guest. It's Dr. Paul Hochemeyer, and he joins us now. Dr. Paul, thank you for joining us on KGO this evening.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And now, do you want to tell the story? Because the federal authorities are searching for this teenager who was serving probation for killing 4 people in 2013 after a drunken driving wreck. And invoking this defense that he suffered from affluenza. Can you describe what affluenza is?
Affluenza is a term that really came into vogue around, around 5 years ago or so, when people began to look at the effect of wealth, the impact that wealth and privilege had on a person's psyche, their ability to understand the consequences of their actions, their ability to engage in the world in a productive way, their propensity to suffer from a host of mental health issues, including depression, dysthymia, which is a low-grade depression, and anxiety.
Okay. Oh, wow. Dr. Paul, really quick, I had thought it was a jokey thing when it first came about,
no.
But you're describing it in real clinical terms.
No, it's quite serious.
Yes,
a lot of smart people really have studied, you know, data in terms of this particular population being the, you know, the top 10% of wealth holders in America, and found that in westernized capitalistic countries that this is a phenomenon that they've observed.
And so they're affluent, and affluenza, obviously derivative of that, and is this sort of a sense of entitlement, and then all of a sudden things go a little crazy?
Basically, yeah. I mean, I think we need to look at what sort of started what entitlement is. I mean, entitlement is the sense of feeling like you deserve certain privileges without working for them. And this is exactly what they were saying this young man was suffering from, that wasn't able to really quite understand the fact that stealing beer was inappropriate, that driving under the influence with a bunch of his friends in the car was inappropriate, and that actually subsequently killing somebody was inappropriate because he was compromised by this construct, if you will, known as affluenza.
And a lot of people, I must tell you, doctor, have a really difficult time buying into this because, you know, his attorney claimed at his trial that he was, you know, that his irresponsible lifestyle as a kid was due to his wealthy parents coddling him. And so subsequently, after killing 4 people, he was sentenced to 10 years probation in order to attend a rehab facility. You know, and we have people in cages for bags of pot who are doing 10 years time. Yeah. So
it's infuriating, and it infuriates a lot of people, especially people who are struggling to make ends meet. You know, there's a lot of single parent households struggling to just pay the bills, and then here you have someone who is given, again, special treatment because of their claiming to hold a special position in society, and you know, it makes a lot of people angry.
All right, and it does. It is infuriating people. And by the way, so this teenager who is now 18. Has not checked in with his probation officer, so he's on the run, and they think that the mother might be involved, and actually there's an arrest warrant out with even Interpol because they think him and his mother may have left the country. Am I right?
Yeah, apparently that's what they're saying. Yeah, that's That's what the reports say.
So let's go back to this accident several years ago when this kid was even younger than he is. So it would be 18. He would have been 16, I suppose, at the time, 15 or 16. Aren't the parents responsible? Where did they fall into this for the people who don't buy this psychobabble business?
Well, the parents, you know, would be responsible for him because basically it was their car. He was their son. He's their charge. He's a minor. He's under their control. And parents are responsible for their actions of their minors. And so, period. I mean, you know, end of analysis. Until you then introduce this clever lawyer, introduce this notion of affluenza and convinced the judicial system that the judge said that he doesn't deserve punishment, he deserves rehabilitation.
Wow, that must have been quite a therapist, especially to pull it off in Texas, I must say.
Would it be your thought that he deserves better parents?
Well,
you know, if he could go back in time, wouldn't we have raised this child differently?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, sure, I mean, you could say that. I mean, yeah, I mean, I think that his parents probably supported him in his illusions of grandeur. I mean, they fed into created a narcissistic personality construct. You know, this kid just didn't come out of the womb that way. You know, he came out of the womb into parents who raised him with certain belief systems, and he came into a world, into a community, in a world that celebrates material things, celebrates wealth, celebrates success. I mean, we live in a society that venerates wealth. You know, we're taught to believe that wealth is the keys to the kingdom, and that if we just have more money, we won't have any problems. And, you know, as a practicing clinician who actually works with a very affluent population, that's not the case. I mean, let's not say that money is a bad thing. Money is an incredible thing. Money can do amazing things. Money can also be profoundly destructive.
Okay, I've got to take a break. Let's hold on that. 808-0810. So, affluenza, a real thing. Are you buying into that? Do you have any comments? Do you have any questions for Dr. Paul? We'd love to entertain them. 808-0810. You're listening to the Drex Radio.
Radio show continues. I'm John Lobertini, KGO 810.
The voices in his head may not be real, but they have some really good ideas. The Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
Barbara Wawa did her 10 most fascinating people of 2015. We'll run that by you coming up close at the top of the hour. And we put together our original end of the year recap with It's the End of the World, which maybe it is. I don't know. We'll find out. You never can tell. All right, you're listening to the Drex Radio Show live and local in the Bay and around the world at kgoradio.com. America's family and addiction therapist, Dr. Paul Hochemeyer, is my guest. And we welcome Dr. Paul back to the airwaves of KGO once again. Thank you for joining us, Doctor, on this rainy night in San Francisco. And by the way, when I say it's raining, I don't know what city you're in, but we happen to be loving it. We need the rain.
Boy, that's for sure. I'm in Malibu, California. We could just send some down our way.
Have you had any rain at all?
Nothing. Really. I mean, it rained very lightly on Sunday, but not nearly. I mean, no, really, for all intents and purposes.
And what I love when it does do that in Malibu or L.A., then the television stations are out there saying, oh,
right.
Look, here's a puddle.
There's
a puddle. There's a
puddle.
Jeffrey, get a shot of that puddle for the eight.
Get a shot of that puddle.
Yes.
Oh, how fun is that? All right. Dr. Paul, I want to ask you about the study that was just released. Now, you know, we have some good news when it comes to how many American children are doing drugs or drinking. But then there's some not so positive things. Do you want to talk about that?
Yes, sure. A study just came out that showed that the amount of drug use among our teens is actually declining, which is terrific news. The kind of bad news in all of that is that the rates of use among teens is still high, very high compared to other countries, and that teens are drinking alcohol heavily, and that the use of marijuana has increased. So while there's good news in terms of, you know, the overall decline of really hard prescription drugs and some really dangerous things like crystal meth and synthetic drugs, that the use of marijuana is increasing, and they're still drinking way too much, way heavily.
Okay, so I suppose that most people listening are not surprised. They would say, well, that's what I did as a teenager. But I once again, let's visit the good news, and that is, as you mentioned, inhalants, methamphetamines, amphetamines, ecstasy, and even alcohol down a bit. But also important things such as hardcore things, illegal prescriptions and heroin. And and by the way, let's talk about heroin for a second, because there is an increase amongst heroin use, and that is in the white adult population. Am I right?
Absolutely right. You know, there's an epidemic, and in fact, some of the larger cities. I also practice in New York City, and we've seen a real spike in the number of patients who are presenting that are addicted to heroin.
And what demographic is that? That you see the most of?
Well, my patient population is basically educated, kind of upper middle class people, and they find themselves using heroin. I mean, the thing with heroin is that it's become so much more available, and the price points have really dropped. So it's very easy to get one's hands on, and people are getting their hands on in record number.
Okay, I had extensive abdominal surgery over the stomach over the year this past year, and so I was out with my stomach problems for months. So I was prescribed OxyContin and oxycodone. And one of the things, and obviously, you know, I thought, wow, well, this will be interesting. What will this be like? But because I had open surgery from sternum to pubis, all it did was kill the pain. It did what it was supposed to do. However, when the time ran out, they cut me off. And then I've got to put up with the pain. And so I ended up, I can't say it's been an argument, but it will be a conversation when I go back to visit the doctor again on Monday, because, you know, now I'm stuck with Tylenol. And I know that this is one of these points that it becomes a conflict between patients and doctors. I'm right in that demo, and you know, the 50-year-old zone, white guy. I'm not going to cross over to heroin, but I have a hard time with the fact that they won't prescribe me the painkillers that I need to be comfortable at night.
Well, how long were you on the medication? How long have you been?
3 months.
Mm-hmm. So 90 days.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I actually think you have good doctors, quite frankly. I mean, I think that what I get concerned about are these doctors who just sort of hand out these prescriptions like they're candy, or because they don't want to lose the patients, because they're afraid that if they turn a patient away who's asking for drugs, the patient's going to go online and give them a bad recommendation, and then, you know, their practice is going to suffer. So the fact that your doctor is very cautious about giving these things out speaks, in my opinion, very highly of your doctor.
That's,
you know,
not what I want to hear.
Sorry.
Just go score some heroin.
So in lies the problem, and it makes me, I understand, and I know what time it is.
You know, these things are highly addictive.
I know, but
your body craves them. So, and there's this phenomenon, it's also called phantom pain, so that the central nervous system creates pain to get more of the drug. So a lot of times when we send the patient away and put them into detox, you know, they realize once they're detoxed from the drugs, they realize that the level of pain has substantially subsided. So
when we talk about opiates, and this is what I want to get to, is the crossover. Okay, so I wouldn't even dream of doing it, but so they look online or they try to find, on the street, hydrocodone or oxycodone or whatever. They can't find it, or they do, and it's too expensive. They cross over to heroin. That just doesn't click in my brain. I don't.
Mm-hmm. That's good. You should feel good about that. Well, that's a positive thing.
Okay, but how does it? I mean, so we have this huge heroin epidemic, and I keep hearing that this is how it happens with people like me who are put on painkillers. Then they're taken away, and then the next thing they do is find themselves doing heroin.
Yes, that's the way that it plays out. So basically what happens is that your system gets dependent upon the drugs. The level of pain doesn't really go away, but it kind of tapers off, and you have a baseline level of pain that really isn't being soothed by the drugs. There's a phenomenon called tolerance, which means that your body needs more of the drug to get the same baseline level of satisfaction. Your doctor cuts you off. you kick and you scream, then your system starts kicking and screaming, and in some moment of where you lose sort of your logic and reason, you know, going and scoring heroin is a really good idea, just to take away the pain and to calm this intense craving that you have. There's nothing really logical about it, and that's the scary bit about it.
Right.
That for, you know, the people who I treat and the people who suffer from this, they're really smart. They're really successful in all other areas of their lives. But the pull, the seduction of these drugs is so intense that all logic and reason just goes out the window.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have any of those cravings, places. But it's just the dealing with the pain. I've got to take a quick break. Can I carry you over? Because we're talking about the affluenza. Somebody has a question about that. But I want to get back to, you know, some of the things that are going on with teens. If you could just hold for one second, I will be right back. Okay, we're talking to Dr. Paul. He's America's family and addiction therapist. So, I mean, he's setting me straight, and I guess he's setting you straight. Any comments, feel free to give us a call, 808-0810, outside the Bay Area, area code 415-808-0810. If you're on hold, stay there. And we'll be right back. First, let's check in with Lee Graham in the KGO Traffic Center.
Thank you, Drex. I want
to turn it up and hang on. The Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
Rainy night in the Bay Area on KGO. It's the Drex Radio Show. And my guest is Dr. Paul Hogemeyer, America's family and addiction therapist. And we're talking about, well, affluenza, you know, that kid in Texas who ran over four people and, you know, he was found to be suffering from affluenza. We'll get to that in a second. But we were talking about addiction and teens doing fewer drugs but still smoking a lot of pot. I don't think there's any surprise there. But the good news is a lot of the hardcore drugs that we think about have kind of gone to the wayside with the youth. Okay, let's take some calls here, if you don't mind, Doctor. Let's go to, who do we have, Lisa?
Yeah, Lisa in Mountain View.
Hi, Lisa. Good evening. You're on the Drex Radio Show on KGO.
Hi, Drex. Thanks for having me on.
You bet.
So I was listening just now, and I was hearing your problem with the pain management after your surgeries. I had two major neck injuries in car crashes and was prescribed the Percocet and oxycodone for a long length of time and became dependent on them.
Oh, you did?
And yeah, I mean, you know, I wasn't like selling stuff or anything like that, but I came very dependent on that. And my doctor kept prescribing more and more and more. And so finally, I said, this is enough. I can't live like this. What can we do? And he put me on a medication called Subutex, or otherwise known as Suboxone.
Oh, yeah.
And what it does, it takes the opiate dependence away, and it blocks the receptor. So if you were to take a Subutex, and 20 minutes later, if you took a Vicodin or any kind of Oxycontin or heroin, it would block that high.
Oh,
now, I use the Subutex for the pain now.
Right, right. Thank you very much. Let's let the doctor comment on this. Go ahead, doctor.
It's terrific. It's a great, it's a wonderful medication that is used widely to do exactly what this caller described. It's highly effective. There's another.
Is it a painkiller though? Does it kill pain?
It does. It sounds like for this patient, it's working quite effectively. Okay. And there's another form that's used intravenously that it lasts up to a month. So it sounds as though that this particular caller was taking it when it has to take the pill on a daily basis, which is great because she's motivated to do it. But sometimes patients aren't motivated to do that. So you give them a shot of Vivitrol, it's called, and they it lasts up for a month, so they don't have to take it on a daily basis. But it's terrific, and I'm glad to hear that, A, this particular caller had enough insight into her life to say, listen, this isn't working for me. I need to do something. I need to take action to fix this problem. It takes an enormous amount of courage. It takes an enormous amount of strength. And she's doing it. So congratulations.
Yeah, fantastic.
Good for her. But exactly what you said, Dr. Paul, at the beginning of our conversation, there's too many doctors that keep doing exactly what she said and you agreed. They just keep prescribing. That's not the case with me. I've got all the Tylenol I can handle.
Right, but it sounds like that's what hers was, and she actually, it was she who took the initiative to said, listen, let's cut this out. I don't want to live like this anymore. That's fantastic.
That is
and now you know. Just give your surgeon the podcast of this show.
No, she's going to say that's exactly what the plan was, Drex. So we're right on course. Have another Tylenol. Right. Yes. Okay, let's take some more calls here.
Yeah, it's Jake in San Jose.
Hi, Jake. Good evening. You're on KGO with Dr. Paul.
Good evening. Sorry you're having pain after your towards summer.
Well,
I don't think a doctor can really talk about this appropriately for yourself without two things. One is knowledge of what was your diagnosis and why did you have the surgery and what surgery was done. And secondly, why you only have pain at night. That doesn't make sense if it's coming from a wound. I would have to, without the full information and a physical examination, say that this is an addiction problem. I'm wondering why you were not tailored down to codeines and to the anti-inflammatories. And finally, there is a medicine out there which good doctors have available, regulated by the government, methadone and its derivatives. I think the subcutaneous drug that was mentioned by the previous caller is a derivative of that, which will take care of the craving in the body. And that's what you have because of your excessive or prolonged use.
Well, no. I don't have because I was cut off. And so, you know, I never went through withdrawal. And thank you. But there was no addiction. But, you know, consequently, as we've been discussing with the doctor, I am one of these people who have gone through the course of suffering through just the pain from the surgery. I mean, you know, it's one of these things that it's going to have to work itself out. One day I'll wake up and it won't be there anymore. Knock on something. Knock on Formica. Doctor, I want to get back to the affluent teen and the affluenza, which you said is, and when we think of affluenza, that is actually a disorder of the affluent. And I think we have somebody that wants to make a comment about that.
Yeah, Michael in Manteca.
Michael in Manteca,
yes.
Good evening.
Hi, everybody. I'm a 40-year-old male, obviously, and I've had a anxiety and worry problem for most of my life. I'm financially okay. My health is okay. Everything is okay. So I have self-talks with myself and will say, well, why am I worrying all the time? Mm-hmm. I've taken Xanax for 20 years, Paxil for 10. And do you believe in just one should take something to calm his whole self down or get off everything, period?
That's a great question. Go ahead, doctor.
Yeah, I think that there's no one silver bullet, and I think that everything needs to happen in a system, in relationships. So if you're on a medication for anxiety, you should also be in therapy. The two should go hand in glove. And you should also be doing things like exercising, taking walks. You should also be looking at your diet. You should also be cultivating your spiritual life. You should also be cultivating a meditation practice. So I think what happens is that we put too much reliance on these medications and that we think that these medications, well, that's all that we need. Well, that's just not true. We need interventions happen on a number of different levels, and we need to be making sure that we're utilizing all of them.
This is interesting. If you don't mind me asking, Michael, you said that you were on Xanax. Did you say Xanax for 20 years?
Yeah, that for about 20 years.
Wow. And did you take it all day long, or did you just take a single dose?
I would take about 0.25, not too much, and it would just make me nice and relaxed and calm. Because I've seen people where they're wound up all the time, and I don't know if that's their natural state all the time.
Right.
And I don't want to be that way. I want to be relaxed and calm all the time. And if I have to take a pill, it's kind of a cheap way to do it. But I feel okay.
And have you found that over time that you've been able to maintain your dosage? Have you had to increase your dosage, and you've been?
No, everything's just been good. But yeah, everything's just been fine. But I say to myself, well, do I have to be this way to the day I die, or? Some doctors, they say, well, cut everything cold turkey. And I've done that for a month, and I didn't notice anything.
Mm-hmm. You didn't notice?
Maybe my tolerance has been built up. I'm sorry, go ahead.
When you say you didn't notice anything, you didn't notice that there was an elevation in your anxiety symptoms, or you didn't?
No, it didn't. Maybe it was like it was like the anxieties were placebo. It's not even working.
That's interesting. Yeah, I've got to wrap things up here. But,
Michael. What about, which one's the calm one, sativa or indica?
Oh, when we talk about pot. Yes. What are your thoughts about pot? Well, you have a minute.
I don't know. I get confused, too. I'm not sure which one it is. Pot is a drug that I think that pot, particularly I have an issue with pot around, you know, underage kids. Kids using pot creates problems because it alters their brain, and so you know, basically studies have shown that kids who smoke pot daily under the age of 17 have a 60% greater chance of not graduating from high school. So that's an alarming statistic.
Wow,
I mean, I think
is,
that we all want our... Yeah, and we, you know, it affects how their brain, you know, the adolescent brain is a brain that's constantly growing and being rewired. And when you introduce these substances into that brain, you mess them up. You know, they're not going to function as effectively as they need to in the world. And, you know, that's really where, I know we're running out of time, and that's the real takeaway that I just want to put in for that.
All right, Dr. Paul Hochemeyer is America's family and addiction therapist. I do thank you, sir, and have a great holiday.
Let's do it again.
Thank you.
Yes, indeed. I enjoyed it. All right, we've got to take a break, and we'll be back. And on the other side, we're going to be talking about, well, we need to stop moaning and start owning. And a lot of fun on the way on the Drex Radio Show on KGOA 10.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.